Coming live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who will not be showing any more Despicable Me movies in this house. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast, 25 questions from the RHAP community, volume 7. And here with me to tackle so many questions from the listeners of the podcast, please welcome the wonderful First Lady of Podcasting, my co-host and life partner. Can I say life partner? Is that a
I think it's just wife.
Wife, my partner in life and in this marriage. Nicole, sister Nicole, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Nicole and I have had a long day today. I think I caught Nicole mid-psychotic break at one point. She had a garbage bag. She was putting all of the toys into the garbage bag. Children were crying.
I felt like something came over me, like something took over my body, and I was like, I'm throwing everything out!
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was taking... The crazy thing was that she was taking all of the toys out of... There's like a toy chest in the boys' playroom. She was taking the toys from the toy chest, which were not on the floor. I understand that she was upset that nobody was cleaning up, but she was seemingly taking toys that were from... A place of, at least, if not organization, they were not part of the problem.
I did have a strategy.
Yes.
It was, I took the toys that I was going to get rid of anyway, mm-hmm. that they don't play with.
Yes.
And I was throwing them out.
Yes.
But Dominic caught on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we don't even play with those toys, so take them. Oh, and take that one next to it, too.
Yeah, no, he was instructing the and that mandatory.
Just made me more yes. full of rage.
Yes. I don't like that when the boys are making Nicole upset. That is what I would, much rather see Nicole happy and my kids upset than everybody upset. That's not much of a choice. I would much rather Nicole be happy and they're upset than they're
happy. I want everybody happy. You just want everybody happy.
Yeah. But most of all, I want Nicole happy.
Yes.
That's really the one that impacts my life the most.
I was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
All day today.
Yes.
And it is the reason why I am drinking a Stella.
Yes. Nicole is not only drinking beer on the podcast, I think for maybe the first time ever.
That's
I cannot think
have.
Of another time.
We are dry.
Yeah. So Nicole is drinking a beer. That was her one request to get her up here to do the podcast tonight. So cheers, Nicole.
Yeah, I did eat an ice cream cone too before I came up. Yes.
And I promised her another one after we get through with this podcast.
It is the Trader Joe's tiny cones.
Okay. So here we are ready to go. 25 questions from the RHAP community. One time a staple of the podcast. Nicole, the very first 25 questions from the RHAP community was the Road to Vegas CarCast special, 25 listeners' questions as I was en route to Las Vegas to pick up what would be the very first podcast award for Rob as a Podcast back in January of 2013.
Right before you very stupidly shaved your head.
Yes, yes, yeah. One and the same. So that was all part of the magic of the very first Road to Vegas CarCast special, which then became 25 listener questions. We went on to do basically...
You knocked me up on that trip, too.
All right, well, let's not talk about that. We went on to do another one in May of 2013, and we were sort of in a pattern of basically after every Survivor season, this would be something that we would do. So we did two in 2013. We would do two in 2014 in January and June. And then again, two in 2015. But we have not done this podcast. Well, we have not done this podcast either since 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has been over 3 years since we have last done this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 25 questions.
Because you're so busy doing other things, you forget about me.
Well, I didn't forget about you. And yeah. I said, let's get back to this. 25 questions from the RHAP community, volume 7. Volume 6 was on June 11th, 2015. So it's been over 3 years this month since the last 25 questions from the RHAP community podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. And of course, Nicole and I get together weekly for the patron 5 for 5. So on the one hand, we have not done this particular podcast in 3 years. On the other hand, we have, you know, never podcasted more frequently together. So that this is, you know, it's not as unusual to do a long podcast together.
Right. Yeah. We're used to this.
Yes. We're used to this.
Some people don't know who I am.
Some people, I think that just about everybody knows who you are from doing your work on the Survivor previews and the Corinnecast. You were on the Feedback Show.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
But once upon a time, Nicole and I, 8 years ago, were the co-hosts of this podcast.
I started this thing.
Yes. I mean, it was always called Rob Has a Podcast. It was never Rob and Nicole Have a Podcast.
I did hear a few times it should be changed to Nicole Has a Podcast.
Yes, yes. And so Nicole, at some point, was not interested in as big of a commitment.
No, you just started podcasting every day and I had a job.
Okay, well, I couldn't wait for you. The show had to go on. We needed more podcasts. And so that's really... And then Nicole went... We had the birth of Dominic, the birth of Anthony. There were a lot of life circumstances that took her out of the studio. But now here she is after a 3-year hiatus back to talk about 25 questions. Nicole's gripe was always with this podcast, too many questions.
Too many.
Too many questions.
And the 5 for 5s have turned, they're supposed to be 5 questions for the $5 and up patrons.
Mm-hmm.
It has turned into...
We get a lot of questions.
75 questions.
In its inception of... And Nicole and I used to also do a podcast called The Friggin' Five.
Which was a lot of fun.
Which was way back when. But in The Friggin' Five, which was another off-season staple, we would talk about 5 different topics. Some of them would be crazy news stories like News AF, and other times it would be, what's going on? Rob and Amber are doing a contest on BostonRob.com. What is this? And... Just talking about, you know, different stupid things that were happening. That was the Friggin' Five. And so that has sort of turned into the Patron 5 for 5. But the Patron 5 for 5 was supposed to be like 5 different topics, but that sometimes the thoughts are all over the place, so we can't get it down to that. So the name isn't great anymore, but the podcast, I think, is still very fun.
Yes.
All right. So, Nicole, we have a lot of stuff to get to here today. I also just want to, before I forget, got a lot of nice feedback about my Father's Day post that I put up on the website last week in honor of Father's Day, which was coming up. I sort of debated, because I've told the story about my dad a few different times over the course of the podcast, and so I don't want to be too redundant about it, but I know that we do have new listeners that come on all the time, so I wanted to get it out there. And I got a lot of nice messages from people about how that they were sort of inspired to take some sort of an action in their real lives and with their different relationships, or that they had recently lost a parent, and hearing me talk about that was something that was a positive thing for people. So I really do appreciate the positive feedback on that, because it means a lot to me to be able to talk about that type of thing.
Yeah, it's you're amazing.
Oh, come on. Go on. Nicole, let's get into our questions here today.
Let me take a drink first.
Okay. Nicole is taking a drink. Chug. Here we go. Question number 1 comes to us from Jeffrey Goldstein, and he has a question that a few people had. Can we get a winner pick for Big Brother 20 from Nicole?
Stuart the Minion.
No, no, no. All right. So Nicole does not keep an eye on Big Brother as closely as she does on Survivor historically. But Nicole, of course.
I've won, though.
You won what?
A winner.
You won a winner?
I picked a winner.
When? When you said a blonde?
I picked Ian Terry.
Okay. All right. Well, Nicole, enough for anything. You know, that's 6 years ago now.
When did you pick a Big Brother winner?
More recently.
No, you didn't.
I've picked 3 since then.
You have not.
Nicole.
He's such a liar.
We need to get from you a winner from Big Brother. And so how about this? Let's try this exercise. This might be fun.
Although I got to say that when I did say a blonde was going to win, a blonde did win. right? Yes.
I don't think so.
So that happened.
You're stretching.
No, it happened. I said a blonde was going to win.
You're stretching. Okay. Nicole, okay, what hair color will the winner have this season?
Brown.
Brown hair. Okay. Cut to, like, I called it. Brown hair.
I knew it.
Nicole, here's what we should do, because you don't really follow the Big Brother stuff super closely. So I have pulled up the Big Brother 20 cast. Why don't I just show you a person's face and you tell me
thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, thumbs up or thumbs down, or you tell me what pops into your head. Let's try this and let's see maybe where this ends up going, if we need to cut this from the podcast. Okay. What about this woman, Angela? Good or bad?
She looks good. She's kind of pretty.
Okay. Angie Rockstar.
She reminds me of somebody I know. And I'm gonna say I don't like her.
Okay. Okay. This is Bailey.
She seems kind of like mellow.
Mellow. Okay. Brett.
I'm getting douche vibes.
Yeah, I did too. This is Swaggy C.
Seems like a lot of swag.
Mm-hmm. This is Fessy.
He's gonna work out a lot.
Yes. This is Haley.
She seems like she's gonna start trouble.
This is JC.
All I see is minions.
This is Caitlin.
She looks cute. She looks like she's gonna be a showmance.
Yes. This is Casey.
She looks, the bun. I don't know. I can't get past that bun on the top of her head.
This is Rachel.
Trouble.
This is Sam.
I'm not feeling the hair.
This is Scotty.
Voted out first.
Okay. This is Steve.
He's going to be the chef.
He's the chef. what do you think Steve does for a living? I know you're too far away to be able to.
And my vision is terrible.
Yes, you're too far away to be able to read this. What do you? If you had to guess, what's his job?
I feel like he works with his hands.
He works with his hands. He's a mechanic.
Oh, see? I'm so good at this.
Tyler Crispin.
He seems like he's like Carrot Top.
Yes. Winston Hines.
Winston Hines is going to get voted out early.
Okay. Nicole, who is the winner of this season?
Mr. Mechanic.
Mr. Mechanic, Steve. Yes. Wow. So Nicole is feeling so good about Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Summer Steve 2018.
Yeah. Okay. Nicole, would you say who's older, me or Steve?
I feel like he's older by like a smidgen.
Smidgen, yeah. not by a lot?
No.
Okay. Nicole, all right. I do have some important news that I need to talk about here with Big Brother 20 around the corner. And I think that you guys should be pleased with this.
Breaking news are happening now.
All right. I had been teasing in a recent, I don't remember if it was in the patron Facebook Friday call that I did or in a patron 5 for 5 or if it was even in the Big Brother cast.
Or if this was a dream.
I don't know. It might have been a dream. But I had been teasing that there was going to be some additional Big Brother content coming this season. And some people were speculating that I was talking about the BBB&B, which recently was dropped with Mike and Liana Boris previewing the Big Brother in the style of the RHAP B&B.
Wait a second. So the B&B is because of their last names?
BBB&B, yes.
Oh,
yes.
I always wondered.
Bloom and Boris. No, but they are going to be talking about Big Brother every so often, maybe once a month over the course of the summer. But I'm here to tell you about a new podcast coming to the RHAP lineup where I was reached out to by a great friend of the podcast, Eric Stein, who would love to come on with me every week, and we are going to do something that is somewhere in between the Survivor feedback show and the Wiggle Room, somewhere in between.
It's like a know-it-alls?
No, it's the opposite of the know-it-alls, where we're just going to have fun extemporaneously about the Survivor season. We'll take your questions. We'll talk about nonsense. It's some sort of Eric Stein room is the best way I could describe it. We don't have a name for this, but Eric Stein and I are going to get together on Mondays and talk about what's going on with the season and answer your questions and talk about nonsense. And I'm very excited about this.
Sounds fun.
Will this be your new favorite podcast?
No.
No, well, you're not a big Eric Stein fan.
It's not Eric Stein. I don't have the time commitment to watch Big Brother.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to have the Big Brother recap on Wednesday, Thursday, and then on Sunday night. And then Eric Stein and I probably will record sometime on Monday morning and then have that up for you guys by Monday night.
That's a lot of Big Brother talk. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, Taryn will be live every morning.
Yeah, and then, well, of course, a robot. He doesn't care.
Of course, the LFC roundtable as well. But this is going to be a little bit of just like taking stock of what's going on in the Big Brother house, talking about the nonsense, and of course, giving people an opportunity to leave voicemails and send in questions and have Eric and I talk about basically the overall nonsense of the week. I'm sure Eric will talk about some strategy and we'll talk about just the utter comedy of what is the nonsensical 99-day adventure of Big Brother.
Is this confirmed? It's 99 days?
It's 99-day season. Yes, that is allegedly what they are saying it's going to be.
What is it, usually 90?
I mean, it's sort of, I think it's been 99 in the past. I mean, oh. You think they could get it to 100.
Might as well, right?
You might as well. You're going to do it 99 days.
Yeah, why half-ass it?
They say it's going to be a 99-day season. Craster is pumped up.
Oh, I don't know why you're saying that.
Very few people know what I'm talking about, but the few that do.
Is that a probably. Game of Thrones reference?
Yeah. We talk about that a lot on the Game of Thrones podcast. All right, Nicole. So there we go. One question down already.
One question down. 25 minutes
24 left to go. All right, here we go. Question number two. This is from Mike Zahn. He wants to know, Nicole, if you could have Rob hooked up to a lie detector and ask him any three questions, what would they be? Please recite the questions in your best Ed Torian voice impression possible.
Oh, I hate when you put me on the spot like this.
Okay.
I feel like I'd want to know what you dream about.
What do I dream? For the record, of either of us to be questioning about the dreams that Nicole on the most recent Patreon 5 for 5 revealed that
voluntarily.
do you want to reset this?
I had a very sad dream that I was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob was trying to make me feel better. So he had said, don't worry, when you die, you could have sex with Tupac.
I thought that in the first time you told the story that you said, well, you could hook up with Tupac.
Well, I wanted to feel you out and what you were.
Okay. All right. Nicole is a big Tupac fan.
Well, back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you still had feelings for Tupac.
Neither did I.
Yes. And to be honest, that you never mentioned that these were romantic feelings that you had Tupac either.
I had no idea.
Okay. So such a romantic love story this is. So
me and you,
so
you
want, yeah. So you want to hook me up to a lie detector and ask me what do I dream? I don't believe that is how the lie detector works. I think you have to ask yes, no questions on the lie detector.
I would say, do you have romantic dreams about other women?
Okay. And I would say no. Okay. I really don't. I really don't.
Everybody does.
Yeah. Oh wait. not everybody. Not you.
Not everybody.
Not you. Okay. What would be question number two?
Are you really working up here all the time? Or are you just trying to get away from us downstairs?
Again, that is not a yes or no question.
Yes, it is. Are you? Is a yes or no question.
Okay. I thought that was an or.
Yeah.
Okay. So am I really? Well, what do you think I'm doing up here?
I think sometimes you're trying to escape the craziness.
Yes. I mean,
I would.
The thing about me, though, is that everything I'm doing is working.
No.
Yeah. Well, what would be something I'd be doing?
Everything I do is work too.
No, but you're a nurse. I mean, if you are watching a show on Netflix, you're not working.
I guess because it would give me things to talk to my patients about.
No, no. So, all right. And then what is number three?
Number three. Oh, my gosh. I guess I would want to know, are you really happy?
Am I really happy?
Yeah.
With
is this
what?
Life what you wanted?
I am generally happy.
Generally, but like, are you like so happy?
I mean, I'm pretty happy.
What can make you happier?
That if seeing your happiness, that would be.
It's not gonna happen.
Yes, that really that a lot of my personal happiness is, you know, sort of rests on seeing you content and happy mm-hmm. with everything that's going on. And so I feel like that, all right, when Nicole is happy, my family is happy, the listeners are happy, I feel like that all is right with the world.
Yeah.
And that's really when I can say, okay, good.
Yeah. Can I get back to you on a better third question?
Yeah,
let me
okay.
think about that.
All right. Nicole, we'll get back to us.
I take back the happiness.
All right. Take your thing. Because you're not really that concerned.
I am concerned. I want you to be happy. And I want it to be me that provides you that happiness.
Yes. When you are happy and smiling, that's when I share in your happiness.
It wasn't today.
It was not today.
It was not today.
It was not today. Those are days where I say, boy, what else can I do up here to not go downstairs?
I actually recorded a moment of unhappiness today.
A moment of your unhappiness today.
Of just unhappiness downstairs.
Yes. Can you play it?
I can play it for you.
Yeah, hold it up to the microphone. Okay. What is this going to be? Is Child Protective Services going to come and take our kids away?
They might.
Okay. All right.
I got a text message. Can I say this? I got a text message from Kristen Abate.
Yes.
Today, and she sent me a picture or a video of her beautiful pool.
Yes.
And I was going to send this back in response to her beautiful
yes, she has a
message.
Nice summer.
Yes.
She has a they're
and this is what I was doing.
Putting in a pool.
Ready?
Okay.
After this
yes.
video,
this was
Dr. Mike will be providing free vasectomies.
Yes, yes. And what was the reason for this outburst?
I don't even remember. That was like outburst 77.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry for that unhappy story. All right. Why don't we go to question number three? Ready to move on?
We're only on number three. This is going to end it tomorrow morning.
Question number three. This is one that is from Amanda Danforth, who wants to know, if Nicole wasn't married to Rob, does she think she would have been interested in watching Survivor? Now, are we talking about in the year 2000 or the year 2003 or the year 2018?
Well, I did watch the first season.
Okay, so Nicole did watch Survivor in 2000. I don't think we've ever heard your Survivor origin story. How did you end up stumbling across Survivor?
I was a waitress.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 19 years old. I was a waitress, and we used to watch it. It was a restaurant on the water, and it was really slow when, I guess, Survivor aired.
Mm-hmm.
And so every Wednesday we would just watch Survivor at the restaurant.
Okay. Did you?
And we watched Big Brother at the restaurant too.
Okay. Did you watch Survivor to the Australian Outback?
No, I did not.
Okay. So you watched the first season of Survivor. You were on board. Did you look at Survivor at any point in between the first Survivor and when I was on it?
Nope.
Okay. And then you were watching it then. And then do you think that in this alternate reality where you did not end up with me, would you ever have looked at Survivor ever again?
I don't know. It depends if my Guido husband would have been a fan of Survivor.
Doubtful. Doubtful.
You never know.
That's
you
not
never
the
know.
Key demo for Survivor.
I don't know.
Okay. So Nicole probably would not be interested in watching Survivor if she was not in this world.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Who knows where I'd be? I'd probably have four kids. We talked about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, twice as many kids. They'd be older.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd have one baby.
Yeah, probably like a late in life baby. Not that I'm old.
Okay. Question number four. Okay, that was a quick one.
Yeah, it was good. Keep them.
Okay. Steve Bond wants to know, if Rob didn't podcast, what career would you pick for me? Nicole, if you didn't see me as a podcaster, what job should I have?
I have no idea.
What would I be qualified to do?
That would change our entire life trajectory, right? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You would probably be back in an office, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Miserable.
I don't know about miserable. I think you'd be
in production.
Different.
Production, right? Mm-hmm. You were in production. That's what you're good at. You're creative.
Mm-hmm.
You would be a writer.
A writer? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't think...
This is my question, not yours, to answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I allowed to weigh in on your response?
Wait, what was the question again?
If Rob was not a podcaster, Nicole, what career would you pick for him? Now, is this what I would pick? Yeah, is this what you would want me to do or what you think I would do?
Well, I think it would be both, right?
I mean, I guess so.
Well, I would want you to be happy and mm-hmm. you're a creative guy. You're good at inventing things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably put you in some sort of production.
Some sort of production.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? On like what I used to do before I was podcasting?
I would put like on a comedy show.
Mm-hmm. Like in what way?
I don't know. Some sort of production way. Maybe a writer, producer.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want you to be an actor.
Right. Right.
So you have to make out with the ladies.
That's always been your chief concern. Yes. About me acting in any capacity.
Yeah, that's not the life I want.
Do you see what happened
with Angelina and Brad?
Nicole was very concerned about in any sort of the little bit of acting that I've done. Nicole is very concerned that I would have a love scene with some sort of a scene where I would kiss a woman in the scene. And Nicole said we were going to break up.
That's not the life I signed up for.
So even in anything, like if in The Scorned, there was a scene where I had to kiss somebody.
First of all, in The Scorned, it wouldn't just be a kiss. It would lead to everyone being naked. And you know that.
So this is basically a red line for Nicole.
It's a firm red line. I think I'm alone in this.
Mm-hmm. No kissing whatsoever.
Nothing. Arm's length. Leave room for the Holy Spirit.
I would be able to hold hands with a woman in a film.
If you were arm's length from her.
Arm's length. Could I hug a woman if I was in a film?
If there was room for the Holy Spirit.
If Martin Scorsese offered me a part in a film, but there was a scene I had to kiss somebody, I'd have to turn it down.
Turn it down.
Turn it down. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So there you have it.
Hollywood, they break up. They break up because of these things.
Yeah, but not every single person that is married to an actor or an actress who has had to kiss somebody or worse in a movie has broken up.
I've heard stories from your friends in production who have talked about how they got excited from the acting makeouts.
So
I'm not going to drop any
give
names.
Give me initials.
TP.
Well, he's a lunatic. Don't take his word for anything.
He used to talk about how excited he used to get.
Well, he's not a professional like I would be.
None of you men are professionals when it comes to that.
Okay. So, yeah, basically, this job is the only thing I'm qualified to do.
No, you're qualified to do other things.
Yeah. I think that...
You would be so good with a clipboard.
It would be... With a clipboard?
Just telling people what to do.
It would be very difficult for me to switch careers at this point in my life. I think that would be the biggest challenge, to not be a podcaster, and is certainly a concern, which is a great segue into...
What do we do next?
Patreon Like a Pro is the new online course that I have developed over these last couple of months with Angie Konz, talking about everything that goes into putting together a successful Patreon program. If you are a content creator, we're going to be working on launching that this summer. So if you are interested in coming to check out any of the free webinars that we are doing and getting some more information on that, you can sign up for the mailing list at patreonlikeapro.com, because this is the only thing that I know how to do, Nicole.
Yes.
So there's that going on as well. All right, Nicole, let's talk about question number 5 from Chris Bragg. And Chris Bragg wants to know, what do you think about the bonus CBS All Access coverage of Survivor? How do you think they can improve it? I personally find it to be underwhelming, scattershot, and not easy to get to. Maybe instead of all these clips, they could do a longer cut of the episode, provide more coverage of the purple edited people, and do other things like a full, longer, better reunion show where they actually talk to the players. Okay, this is an interesting question from Chris.
Those are good suggestions.
All good suggestions. Yeah. And so that CBS launched CBS All Access. I don't remember exactly when. I think it maybe coincided with Big Brother 19 at some point, and Big Brother OTT was one of the first shows, and they've been creating more content. We've talked about Star Trek Discovery on post-show recaps and some of the other things, the Good Wife spinoff that they've done on CBS All Access. But it was, I believe, that in the fall, they took the secret scenes for Survivor and made them part of CBS All Access. I don't think that they were doing that for Game Changers, and then they had it the same way in Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, and then ultimately in Survivor Ghost Island. But those scenes, those seasons were filmed before they made this change on the back end of how they were distributing that. So in terms of what they shot, they did everything the same way that they had always been doing it, or at least been doing it over the last couple of years. It will be interesting to me in the fall if what they end up filming in Survivor 37 and Survivor 38 for All Access might be something that is a little more exciting for people that want to get more behind the scenes of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the secret scenes, they end up being posted on Reddit. They end up being posted all over the place. So maybe there is some sort of additional content that might be something that people might actually want to pay money for that could be up as part of CBS All Access. And maybe, again, I don't know how much the crew that's in Fiji is talking with the people that work at CBS All Access, but maybe that they could be some people on the same page.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like I'm losing you on this one.
Yeah, you are.
That's too boring. This is too boring of a question for you.
It was a very informative answer.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's see if we can get Nicole back with question number 6. You're a difficult audience.
Let me take another soap.
Yeah. Because then I imagine that this is like what the podcast audience is like. And if I can see you in person, like tuning out, and I say, oh, maybe the podcast listener is getting bored.
No, they're more interested.
Interested. They like this show more.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 6 is from Joe Brochacho, who wants to know, will the Love Know-It-Alls return, and will Nicole be a guest on it? All right.
Good question.
Good question. Of course, the Love Know-It-Alls.
You know what? That started with us.
Yes, we did do a dating, and Rob has a love cast,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, we had... You always get top billing, and I get no billing.
What about Nicole Has a Girl Cast?
Well, I was in it, and it was just me.
Okay.
So. There was only 2 episodes.
All right. So what would you like to... You would like to call more things Rob and Nicole Have a Whatever?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's see. Try not to be so bored during some of the questions, and we'll see what we can do.
What? I wasn't listening.
Yeah. So, Nicole, will there be a Love Know-It-Alls return, and will Nicole be a guest on it? Now, the Love Know-It-Alls was a fun run, as far as I was concerned. I believe we did 7 episodes back in January and February, myself. And
I listened to them.
And Steve Fishbeck, you did.
I did.
Did you have any feedback on those?
I liked them. I did like them.
You thought I gave good advice?
No.
No. To me, I feel a little bit like that we covered a lot of topics, and I was finding a little bit like, I don't know if we have anything new to say. I feel like that this is a similar question that we answered 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. So I think it would depend on the guest. I know Steven really loves the idea. He wants to do more.
Yeah.
For me, I just want to make sure it makes sense to do it and not have, you know, too many similar questions. I do think it would be fun to do one with you. I don't know how Steven would feel about that.
But who's the boss?
Okay. Well, depends who you ask.
Yes.
And of course, that it would be, I think, a fun thing to try out. Maybe over the course of the summer, we could do one or two. I don't want to take on another big weekly commitment. Yeah. Back in January, there wasn't a lot of shows on. Now we are about to start Big Brother. Like, had Steven got married back in the first week of June, and Mazel
Tov. So he is a love know-it-all.
Yes, he is a blissfully happy newlywed.
Mm-hmm.
I flew out to Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago to attend Steven's
nuptials.
Beautiful nuptials. Had a very nice time there. Got to hang out with Tyson and Rachel and Jeremy and Val.
I'm really jealous that you got to hang out with Jeremy and Val without me. That's twice.
Yeah, Jeremy and Val are the best.
I cannot wait to meet them.
Yes, they're
and Tyson and Rachel, of course.
Yes, yes, we got to hang out with them as well in the past. But you know, I had never really spent any time with Jeremy in real life outside of just talking on podcasts and stuff like that. So that was fun. But Steven, had he not had his wedding at that particular time, maybe like it would have made some sense to do Love Notes. But now Big Brother is coming back on, so it's going to be, you know, a busy podcast schedule for me.
Yeah. I did like listening to you guys and your very strategic answers to the questions. And I there were a few times I'm like, oh no, don't do that.
Well, Steven is a real master when it comes to these online dating profiles that he posted a picture that him and his wife, they met on OkCupid and were 96% match.
Mm-hmm.
And OkCupid sent Steven Fishback flowers. He posted a picture of them.
That's pretty amazing.
96%.
Yeah.
What percent match do you think you and I are?
26.
26%. Okay.
Look, that's still 26%.
Numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Numbers don't lie.
Opposites attract, though, right?
Yes. Yes, I do think so.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Nicole.
You make me better.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And likewise. Nicole, here's question number 7 for you from Meredith Robinson, who wants to ask, if Rob was to go back and play Survivor again, on a scale of 1 to 10 Kristen Abates, how do you think you would handle it? And how many I hate you messages would you leave on Rob's voicemail while he was gone? Kristen did that. Said she did that.
Yeah, she said she texted him like every day. They started off like nice,
yes,
and then it progressed to I hate you. We're getting divorced. Don't come home.
Yeah. Well, I tweeted to her the other day. She said she was listening to the Big Brother coverage because she enjoys the podcast.
Yeah.
I said, be thankful that Dominic's not on Big Brother. That's like 3 times longer than Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 times
longer.
And
then you watch their every move.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that would be better or worse.
That would be so much worse. That would be so much. She wouldn't get anything done.
Okay. So, Nicole, if I was to ever play Survivor again, how would you handle it?
It depends on if people wanted to stay with me and
yes,
help.
And infamously, this is Nicole's biggest gripe, which is so dumb.
It's not.
Nicole would not mind me being gone.
I miss you.
Her concern is if people, family members, decided that she needed help and would want to stay at the house and then get in her way. That is what she's concerned about.
The terms of your departure would depend on signatures of an NHA.
So if nobody said that they would come and stay with Nicole, again, this is that, no, I'm, you did not hear me incorrectly. She doesn't want anybody to come and stay with her.
No,
and as long as that doesn't happen, then I can go. As long as she doesn't get help from people.
Yes. He just went to hit the bell and then stopped himself.
Because it does not even deserve a bell. Which is that is like an irrational fear, like people are going to hijack our house and say, no, Nicole, we will not respect your wishes. We're coming anyway.
Yes.
Rob's on Survivor.
Yes.
Get my suitcase. I'm coming in.
It happens all the time.
But that people, like, God forbid anybody wanted to try to help Nicole.
I don't like help.
She doesn't like
help. I don't like help.
She doesn't like, like, it doesn't make sense.
It also, it gets in the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, then I would text you every day we're getting divorced.
Right. So I would have to quarantine the house. And if I can ensure nobody, no family members would ever come and visit Nicole.
You could call me.
They can call.
They can text.
Nobody can visit.
I just don't want the assistance.
Okay.
Because it's not.
God forbid.
Assistance. It's
God
not
forbid.
Help.
Okay. All right.
Don't make me sound like.
All right. What is that on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, it depends on if I get help.
Okay. There's no help, okay? And we have a restraining order. Nobody can visit you.
I'm
on Survivor.
You have my blessing.
Nobody can visit you. You'd be fine.
Yes. I would support you. How terrible is that? Oh, I'm terrible.
Okay, because it doesn't seem like that you're concerned at all about where Kristen would talk about, oh, I missed my husband. It was so terrible. I never went a day without talking to him. It was such torture to be away from my husband. You're saying like, nobody better visit me. I don't want to. If anybody comes and wants to sleep here and gets in my way, I will be so miserable. Like, no part of your story is I will miss my husband.
I didn't
he's
get to
such
that
a,
part
he's
yet.
Such a help
you made me
to
a
me.
Villain already. I didn't get to that part.
All right.
The first part is yes, do not come and help me. The second part is, oh, I gotta make coffee by myself in the morning.
Yeah, again, that's not I will miss my husband. That's my husband.
You make
does
coffee
so much for me.
So much better than I do. Especially in the morning. You add more sugar in the morning to really wake me up. Like, you know, that's what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Are you ready for question number 8?
Are you?
No. I think I should have hit stop when we got to Tupac.
You're the one who said it.
Question Tupac. All right. Question number 8. Our old friend, Taylor Cotter, wrote to us to say, Nicole, what's...
Please don't get me in trouble, Taylor.
Well, she writes to you, Nicole, what's one question you wish people would ask you?
Wow, I don't know.
What's one question that you wish people would ask you?
Oh.
When can I sleep over?
That is a question you never ask.
What is the one question that
you... You didn't offer anything, okay? About the visiting.
Yes.
We live on the opposite side of the country where we have our own like little systems for how things get done.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that come, they break up our systems
okay.
And it turns to chaos.
All right, we're past this question.
Well, I'm not past it.
All right, what is the one question you wish people would ask you?
Oh, man. Now you're really putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I would say? Or I
mean, how
say?
Do I know the one question? I don't know what questions
you know
people people ask you.
What questions? Like questions from
anything,
from the listeners,
anything in
from
the world,
randos.
Yeah. So, what's the question that you wish random people would ask you?
I have no idea. This is a really boring answer.
How did you get so good looking?
I get that all the time.
Okay. So that's it? You have nothing? There's no
Nicole,
part of you?
How do you do it?
How do you
do it all?
How do you do it all? Okay. All right. Nicole, let me play you a voicemail. And this is one from, this is actually from a little ways back in the voicemail inbox. This was left for us a little bit after the finale, but this is from a great friend of the podcast, Vic Shati.
Hey, Rob, this is Vic Shetty. I want to talk to you about something that I think everybody in the community should prepare for. Will season 40 not be all winners, as many people have their fingers crossed for, but a winners versus runner-up seasons? With the Dom and Wendell of it all, you could easily see these guys as team captains, potentially. Do you think this is inevitable, or can we stop it and hold the vote for an all winners? I'd love to know your thoughts. Thanks, Rob.
All right. This is interesting to me, Nicole, because that I have presumed that season 40 was going to be all winners.
Right.
That's something that would make sense to me for Survivor to do. I think it's time to do all winners. So I think that would be very interesting. But then as Vic brought up, where if you had some sort of a winner versus runner-up season, you got some sort of a captains of a Dominic and Wendell. I don't know if they would build a season around that.
Right.
It's not a rivalry against the two of them. You would think that they would be allies. It's not like Rob and Russell in terms of building a season about them. But I do think that Dominic is the number one person that Survivor would love to bring back. And if you did an all-winner season, then he's sort of out in the cold and you can't bring him back for that. So what do you think is more likely? Do you think that they would do in Survivor 40 all winners, or do you think that they would do some sort of a combination of where you want, because I think that they want to bring back a lot of winners, but do you think they would do some sort of like winners versus runners up or finalists or best to not win or things like that, or randoms?
I think there's
like a
heroes
versus villains type scenario.
A million reasons to bring Dominic back.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
But what do you think Survivor is more likely to do? Do you think that they would, do they want to bring him back so badly that they would maybe not do all winners as the next big all-star?
I think that they've been waiting to do an all winners season.
That's what I think, that they've been waiting to do all winners as well.
And I think that they can bring Dominic back any other season, but they've
just
been
bring
waiting.
Him back with randos.
Yeah, they can do anything with him. Like they're gonna bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it doesn't matter. Like he's gonna go back.
Do you think that they're more likely to do all winners? Or do you think they're more likely to do a tribe of winners versus a tribe of icons or whatever?
I think maybe after they do an all winners, like they're not going to change season 40.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think it's really going to be all winners. And then after
winners.
That, they can do, they have so many people that they can bring back.
Yeah. I just feel like all winners is the last big thing that they could do that they haven't done that would really get a lot of hype.
It's so anticipated.
Mm-hmm. And then they could do first boots.
Totally.
They could do that too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting I think that they'd be very excited to bring Dominic back, but would they change up plans to do a big all-star of all winners?
No, they can bring him back season 41.
Okay. All right. So Nicole says they're going to stick to the plan. This one, question number 10, this is going to be a lot of fun, I think, because who knows how it could go. Tim Westine writes to us. And recently, we found out.
Why do you have the timer?
Recently,
I don't like this.
We found out that Nicole was able to name 14 Survivor winners in the course of 1 minute.
Out of
35 people.
Yeah.
So Tim Westine writes in, we realize Nicole knows 14 Survivor winners. Can she name 4 Big Brother winners in 30 seconds? I will give you, let's see. Okay, Nicole, there have been 19 winners of Big Brother proper. We will also allow winners of Big Brother Celebrity and Big Brother OTT as well. 21 different people have won seasons of Big Brother. You have to name as many as you can in 1 minute, starting now.
I have no clue. Will, his sidekick, the blonde hair. What is his name? You know who I'm talking about, so that counts.
Sorry, you do not
counts.
Get credit for blonde people winning seasons here.
And the other blonde.
Who? What was that name?
Ian Terry.
Ian, okay.
Dan. The Marine guy with the pretty fiance that went on to The Amazing Race that wasn't allowed back in the house here, this house, to do an interview.
What?
Remember she wanted to come here to do the podcast, and I said she was too pretty, she couldn't come.
Mm-hmm. Neither of them have won Big Brother.
I think yes. No?
No.
Yeah, I can't do this.
I believe you got three. I believe you got Will, Ian, and Dan.
Okay, and the blonde guy who used to own the Geisha House.
Mike Boogie.
Mike
is
Boogie.
What we were looking for.
Yes.
Yes. So
his sidekick.
You did not get Eddie, even though you allegedly watched Big Brother 1.
I couldn't remember his name, and I was going to say the guy with one leg.
He was here one day.
I thought it was offensive.
Do you remember when he was here?
No, I don't remember when he was here.
Yeah, he was here one day.
I don't remember.
Go listen to that podcast in the archives.
Yeah.
And
did I meet him?
I don't know. I guess not.
Yeah.
You did not get to Lisa Donahue.
Uh-huh.
You did not get to June Song.
I did not.
You did not get to Drew Daniel.
Nope.
You did not get to Maggie.
Nope.
You...
See, now he's showing off how he did this last time.
I did not get to Mike Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
You did not get to Evil Dick.
Yeah, try to forget.
You did not get to A Baller.
Mm-hmm. Again, try to forget.
You did get to Dan.
Uh-huh.
You did not get to Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
You did not get to Hayden Moss.
Well.
You did not get to Rachel Riley.
What is wrong with me?
You did get Ian Terry.
Yes.
Okay. You did not get Andy Heron.
Yeah.
You did not get Derek Levasseur.
Yeah.
It's kind of an easy one.
Yeah, it is.
You did not get Steve Moses.
You know I'm not good on the fly.
You did not get your blonde girl, Nicole.
I said blonde girl.
Yeah, well, sorry. You did not get to Josh Martinez,
I don't even know who that
Morgan
is.
Willett, or no. Ross Matthews.
Ross won?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry. I always think he won, and then it takes me a minute to remember that Marissa won.
Oh.
Ross did not win.
Yeah, I was like, oh, what?
But Marissa Jarrett Winoker.
Yeah.
Was the winner of Celebrity Big Brother. Okay. So, all right. So there was, Nicole, three winners in a minute.
Well, better than I thought I was going
to
do.
All right. Nicole, before we get to question number 11, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today. And those are our friends over at Audible. And when we talk about things that Nicole and I have in common, one thing that you might not know is a mutual love of audiobooks.
It's true.
Yes.
I don't have time to read.
Yes.
Nor do I know how.
I got Nicole turned on to the spoken word that you could hear on Audible.
You Semhar?
Yeah. Yeah. Audiobooks are great for the summer, whether you're by the pool, on a long ride, hiking, whatever it is. Nothing better than a long audiobook. Nicole, what audiobook are you currently reading?
I am currently... listening to, not
sorry,
reading.
You're sorry. Like that. Don't be elitist. Don't be a snob.
I am currently listening to You Are a Badass.
You are basically a badass?
Yeah, You Are a Badass.
By Drew Christie?
No.
Yeah?
This is legit.
So, basically, I'm a badass.
Do you recommend that book?
It's very good.
Yeah. I have been a... Audible subscriber for many years now.
Yes.
I get one credit a month, and I love to have a audiobook. I am currently listening to a book called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller, who has a great marketing podcast called Story Brand. I highly recommend it for anybody who does any sort of marketing in their business. They've got a great offer for our listeners of Rob Has a Podcast over at Audible. You can go to audible.com/robpodcast or text Rob Podcast to 500-500 to get a 30-day trial where your first audiobook is free. It's a great deal. Of course, you know, we all love listening to podcasts. I always feel like audiobooks are a little bit more substantive than some of the podcasts that I listen to. I feel like podcasts can be fleeting. A great audiobook book stays with you for a great while, no matter what you're reading. If you don't like the audiobook you get from Audible, you can exchange it. No questions asked, and the books are yours to keep on your device. You can go back and re-listen anytime, even if you cancel your membership. So go ahead and give it a try. Go to audible.com/robpodcast or text robpodcast to 500-500 to get your 30-day free trial with your first audiobook for free at Audible. All right, Nicole, let's get to question number 11. And
we are never going to finish this.
Look, I have to edit this podcast. You're going to go to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 11. Mo Saunders writes in, says, Rob, I know you've logged a ton of hours behind the microphone, but what is your favorite podcast of all time?
That's Nicole, a good question.
Same question.
Okay, you first.
All right. I would have to say that my favorite podcasts are the ones that stand out where it's sort of going on and on and on, and I can't believe how long it's been. Like, I have a feeling, and I don't know if anybody has this ever, listening to a podcast or doing something that they really enjoy, but I have the feeling of that time has gone by where I am recording something for 2.5 hours, and I only know that because I've looked at a clock where I couldn't, like, the time actually feels like I've been doing it for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes, and somehow I don't know how we've gotten to 2.5-3 hours, where I really just am able to lose track of the time because I'm enjoying what I'm doing so much. And any time that has that, where you could tell it, when it's a really long podcast, and I've really enjoyed it. I think that one of the first times I really remember that was, to go back to Eric Stein, when we recorded the Saved by the Bell podcast, where we just talked about all things Saved by the Bell. I think it was, I broke it up into two parts because I was worried it was going to be too long for people. Just at the end of that was just... you know, really surreal. Like, I can't believe, like, this is what we talked about. Like, we got it all in there. Everybody's going to listen to that. The 4+ hour podcast I did with Tyson back in, I think that was in the fall of 2014. That was another one that was like that. You know, the, I think the first podcast with Cochran that we did, and then you and I talked about Tony and the llama noises. That was another really great one.
That was a good one.
The podcast that I did with Russell Hantz, it was so surreal where it was,
he was wasted.
Well, he was drinking, and, you know, I had never had that experience before. It was like a really long conversation, and like by the end of it, it's like
he was drunk.
He's getting more and more drunk, but I feel like it was really good stuff. It was like it was the kind of thing where it was over. It's like, wow, that was really intense. That was crazy. So the things that are just a little bit, you know, out of the ordinary and exciting. The Survivor Loved Ones podcast I did with Mike Bloom recently was, you know, in that category for me, where it was just like, the time went by, it was so long, but the time went by so fast, and it was, you know, I was so engrossed in what I was doing. So those are sort of the standout ones to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Nicole, what about you?
I really enjoy doing the Patron 5 for 5s. I feel like it's no pressure.
Yes.
And like, we talk about things that we probably wouldn't talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On air.
Okay. Any particular one?
The last one was pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was your favorite podcast of all time.
Because it's the one I remember.
Yes, because Nicole has no memory.
I have the worst memory in the world.
Well, that you have no ability to recall the memory,
yes.
But then
I'll remember like really random things.
Things come to you in flashes.
Yes, that's that's a really great way to describe my memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, basically,
I get like flashbacks.
In the library of Nicole, there's no Dewey Decimal System. There's no card catalog. There's no way to access anything, but books
randomly
fall off the shelf and hit you in the head.
And then I remember.
And then, oh, yeah, this. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you this. Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
And I have some pretty crazy stories.
Yes, many.
Yeah.
Number 12. Okay. This is from Mike Christensen. I've been listening to a lot of The Evolutionist Strategy lately and was wondering, are you going to make yourself binge the first 3 volumes in preparation for volume 4 when the time comes? How weird is it to listen back to old conversations you've had? Nicole, this is a great question for you, that you are on what this is your second or third time through The Evolutionist Strategy right now.
It's probably like my fourth.
Fourth time through. And so that... You have never listened to 1 second of The Evolutionist Strategy.
I have not.
No. And you never will, no matter how bored you get.
I might listen to maybe your newer volume.
Maybe volume
yes.
4.
Yeah.
So that is one of the things I would like to do, is do a full re-listening.
How long are they?
I mean, it's 300 hours long.
Each volume?
Yes, each one.
I was going to say, that's crazy.
It's 9,000 hours, The Evolution Strategy.
Mm-hmm. Math isn't my strong suit.
Anyway, so the whole thing is 300 hours.
So it's 100 each?
Yeah.
Each volume.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah. Right. I would like to go through and re-listen to it back. Now, I've listened to a lot of it back. I mean, I edited it the first time through. I don't think I would take it on as an editing project for the fourth volume. But when I have a guest from a certain older season, I tend to go back and sort of like listen to the whole thing on 2x speed. And I do forget a lot of the conversation. So a lot of it is listening to it. Like most of the old podcasts where if I listen to it, it's like I'm listening to it for the first time.
Yeah.
I sometimes know, like I have a fleeting memory of, you know, what I'm going to say next. Like, oh, no, now this is coming back to me. But for the most part, it's a lot of like I'm listening to it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Josh is like that also.
Yeah.
I suspect it is.
Probably. That's a long time ago.
So I would like to re-listen to things and like take notes and like write things down for inside jokes. But I'm also in no hurry to get to The Evolution of Strategy Volume 4, where I do regret that we ended up. And I know that we felt like, oh, it's the end of season 30 and we wanted to get things out there because of the way that it was structured, where there were things that went on that we talked about that were going to be out of date if we didn't get it out before Second Chances. But I regret that we did season 29 and season 30 so close to their air date, where I feel like that if we would have like covered season 30 now, I feel like we'd have a little bit of a different point of view on certain things that happened or didn't happen in that season. And I would like to, when we get to The Evolution Strategy Volume 4, assuming Survivor is still on the air, I would like to not even start to record it until after season 40 is over.
Well, can you do like a bonus podcast where you do 29 and 30 again?
Look, let's don't bite off things for us to chew. Okay.
Much.
All right. So, yes, to answer Mike's question, I would like to re-listen to Evolution Strategy before we record in Volume 4.
Yeah.
All right? And, of course, at that point, we were recording 30 seasons, and we'd only need to record 10
yeah.
to make Volume 4.
And that would be easy.
Yes. And, of course, if you have not listened to The Evolution Strategy, there's no better time than the Survivor off-season, evolutionofstrategy.com. And, you know, I'm still impressed that people are still going through it. And
I'm getting tons of emails about
listening
it.
Listening to it for the first time. And, you know, I said to Josh, you know, and we hardly ever mention it and people still keep checking it out. But I have been very neglectful of The Evolution Strategy, and it's a great time to check it out. Chapter 1 is completely free, all about Survivor Borneo. There's a few other free chapters if you, dig around a little bit and find some other codes that we've given out for different chapters of Evolution Strategy. But if you can check out Borneo, it gets a lot more wacky from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 13.
Uh-huh.
Halfway there,
no,
Nicole.
No, we're not.
Question number 13 from Simone Nguyen.
Oh.
I want wedding advice. What do you wish you had known? And how could I ensure that I eat at my own wedding? Very important to eat at a wedding.
Yes. Best advice, the little things, the details, they don't even matter. No one remembers them.
Nobody remembers it. That's
really.
Right. That's
yeah.
right.
You pay so much attention to these things that stress you out when in the end, as long as you had fun, who cares? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when we were doing our wedding, like I did the menus and I had to create these things and I had the designs and I put little rhinestones on mm-hmm. each little menu. Like, did anybody remember that?
No.
Probably not.
No. My advice would be, you know, pick out the one or two things that are important to you. Focus a lot of effort on that and, you know, basically half-ass everything else.
Yeah, just do what's important to you. And during the wedding, you have to take moments to look around and take it all in. And that is one thing I think that we did really well. Like, we would stop and look around and we'd watch everybody and we'd like be like, wow, this is our wedding.
Right.
And that was, that stood out to me. But we didn't eat.
We didn't eat?
We barely ate.
We barely ate?
Yeah, we barely ate.
I feel like we ate a little bit.
You know what? I'm still kind of pissed about one thing about the wedding.
What? That they didn't let me talk?
Oh my God, please don't get him started on this. No, but yes, but no.
Okay.
We had a Viennese, right, at our wedding, which is a room that opened up and it was all full of pastries and all these Italian desserts. And it was like, it was heaven. And at the end of the party, they gave us the leftover pastries and cakes and puddings and everything. And we put it all into my dad's minivan.
Yes.
And my dad, in the middle of summer, August 1st, 2010, left all the pastries in his car overnight. And I was so excited to go to his house the next day and eat all the desserts that we didn't get to eat.
Yeah.
And they all went bad.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about that your big regret was our wedding night.
Why?
So that, you know, you hear about this wedding night your whole life. And then Nicole's just like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. And I honestly don't even remember if there was any, if there was anything special going on.
It was quick.
Yeah. You hear about, your whole life. Just wait till
those are the
wedding night.
Who save themselves for their wedding night. Yeah, we save ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't save any energy, really.
Well, it also took a long time to get my dress off.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 14. Jennifer Jones wants to know, Nicole, can you give us any juicy stories from the mom groups, mom group drama, Spill the Tea? All right. So just to reset this or set this up for people who may not know this about my lovely wife, that she is very involved in a number of Facebook mom groups.
I think a lot of people are.
Okay.
Yes. So,
and is, very involved in a few different mom organizations.
One organization.
Do you have any, and I will remind you, this is a public podcast.
I'm not mentioning the organization.
Don't name any names for the risk of incriminating yourself. But do you have any stories to share with the listeners?
I have taken a little step back.
Step back, okay.
From the group because we had an incident.
An incident.
At the house.
At our house?
You know about it.
What was it?
Where one of my, I lead a mom's fitness group.
Yes.
And one of the moms decided to approach our crazy neighbor.
Oh, this is why you've stepped back from the group?
Yeah, it caused drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she just like basically like threatened them that we were going to call the police on them.
Yes. Okay. Well, this is not where I thought this story was going.
Where did you think it was going?
I thought that you were going to have something interesting about like that the people, the ladies in the group are crazy.
Well, we do have one particular mom that is insane and there's a lot of drama. Well, you put, I think the group is.
All right. Well, tell one story.
I don't want to get in trouble.
All right. Well, you don't have to name a name.
There's a particular woman who causes a lot of drama that they were trying to boot from the club and
trying to vote somebody out.
They were trying to vote somebody out, but turns out other people voted her in and she's now on the board. And now she's in control.
Well, it's like Westworld.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah,
totally twist.
Oh, yeah, just think you're going to get somebody out and they're running things.
And now they're running things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everyone's like, oh, F.
Wow. Yeah. It's like, really, it's
so drama.
Yeah.
It's so much drama.
It's like that you guys get to have some sort of live action Game of Thrones.
It kind of is like Game of Thrones. And this person in particular was trying to get the president out.
Oh boy.
And has been like campaigning for like a year to get everyone to vote out.
Have you considered calling a special counsel to investigate the president?
Oh, there has been a counsel. There has been. And then, like, people call the board and they're complaining about other people. And then the board.
What powers do you have in the mom group? Like, why is there so much corruption?
There's like, they get power hungry.
But what power do you have?
There is no power. It's delusional. It's delusional.
I don't get it.
There is no power. It's
a Facebook group.
No, it's more than a Facebook group. I guess so.
All right.
It's a way of life.
I guess so. All right. Nicole, here's question 15. Question number 15 from Emma Rose, who says, how does Nicole think that she and Rob would do on a season of The Amazing Race?
In one word, terrible.
Terrible. Really? Yes. You think so? So that I have been contemplating, you know, how I would perform
on
The Amazing Race. And I actually think, to speak to something that Nicole brought up earlier, that I do think that in a lot of ways that we do complement each other well. And I think that the things that I am good at, maybe Nicole would not be as good at. I think the things that I might be weaker at, I think might be the things that Nicole might be better at. So I do think as an Amazing Race team, if we could avoid the major argument,
which we won't,
which we wouldn't, but if we could, I do think that we might be a competent Amazing Race team.
I think that despite our crazy antics,
mm-hmm.
we would probably do well.
As opposed to, and I had at some point recently given some thought about if I was going to run a race with somebody who might be more like myself, I feel like that might be a worse fit than to run it with somebody like Nicole.
Like, you would do well strategically.
Yeah, I think with the planning.
But if you spin me around blindfolded, I won't know where I am.
Yeah, but that's not really a task on The Amazing Race.
No, but I'm just saying I have no sense of direction.
Right, but you would jump out of a plane, right?
I would have to, because you wouldn't.
So I think it would be good. And you would, yes. You would bungee jump?
I would have to. You wouldn't.
Right. So I think that it would be good.
Yeah.
And, you know, neither of us could drive a stick shift, but we'd have to figure that out.
My dad will teach us.
All right. So that's good. So I think that we would be competent. I think we would be good TV.
We would be amazing television.
Yes.
We would be so good.
So that would be good.
You would be like the social person,
mm-hmm.
and I would be the FU person.
Right. You would fight with people. I'd be like, guys, please.
I know, my wife.
My wife. She's very. She's
and he says this all very, the time.
She's very excitable. You're just.
I believe the
this
word.
This means she likes you.
My wife is crazy. She doesn't know what she's saying.
She's just tired.
She's hangry.
She has low blood sugar. She just needs a minute. Everything's fine.
It's like, I'm sorry, my wife. That's all he says.
Okay. 15B, part B.
16.
From Shryly,
uh-huh.
on Twitter. Wants to know, if you were offered to go on Survivor Blood versus Water season together, would you want to do it? Assuming you work into your schedules and that you had someone that you trusted to take care of your kids. Now, if we were gone, would you want somebody to be there with the kids?
I don't care what happens when I'm not here.
Nicole, I've talked about this before on the podcast, that back during the original Survivor Blood versus Water, I briefly contacted, you know, are you interested? They contacted a lot of people and I think it would have been.
But back then, you and I were podcasting a lot.
More so. And you know, there was some question about. And Nicole was pregnant with Dominic, and
yes,
so
it was not.
It was not a fit.
Yes.
That being said, Nicole, are you more or less interested in that idea in 2018?
I think about this. People ask me this question. I get this a lot. This mm-hmm. is a question I get a lot. Would you do a blood versus water?
Is this the question you wish people would ask you more?
No.
Yes.
I don't like thinking about this question.
Yes.
I feel like I would have no choice but to say yes because, mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't say no if you wanted to do it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Would I voluntarily go?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no.
What would be the worst part for you?
Everything.
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 Though you like the challenges.
Can you imagine me in a challenge with Jeff Probst interrupting what I'm doing to tell me what I'm doing?
Nicole! When Nicole, I haven't eaten? You're not in the attack zone!
Yeah. Jeff, shut up!
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I get hangry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do well when I don't sleep.
Yeah.
I don't like bugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to be dirty.
Right.
I don't like people.
Mm-hmm. You know, for Tyson, it was, you know, a challenge because, you know, Rachel was voted out of the game so early and people went after Rachel as a way to get to Tyson.
But it didn't work.
It didn't work. He went on to win. And, you know, in talking with Jeremy, you know, he'll tell you that, you know, playing with Val, you know, was something that really screwed him up the first time around. And
right.
The second time around, he was able to focus a lot more. So I think it would be a major distraction for me. If I was going to ever play again, that would not be my ideal scenario to go back.
Yeah.
So.
No, you would be like, oh my God, what is Nicole doing? Who is she fighting
are
with?
Are you okay?
I can take care of myself.
Yeah. All right. Question number 16. All right. Jennifer wants to know, how did Nicole decide to be a NICU nurse? My niece was in the NICU for her first 9 months, went home on a vent with trach and feeding tube, was 1-to-1 when she was born for months. Does that mean something to you?
I mean, she was one baby, one nurse, which means she was very critical.
Right. The nurses saved her, but also my sister-in-law and brother-in-law during that time. I can't imagine the stress of that job. That's from Jennifer. Why? How did you, for the people that don't know Nicole, she is a nurse.
Yes.
She works in neonatal intensive care.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you end up arriving on being that type of nurse?
Do you want the real answer or the noble answer?
The Chris Noble answer?
Yes.
Yes.
The real answer.
It was the most suave position.
Yes, yes.
It had very beneficiary.
It was very beneficiary, gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really bad experiences. I had really bad experiences in nursing school.
Mm-hmm.
With adult poop.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to
what do you mean bad experiences?
No one wants to hear these stories.
Okay.
I don't even like to recall them.
All right,
but
fine.
My experiences in nursing school scarred me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even really talk about poop because mm-hmm. of my experiences in nursing
yes.
school. And not everybody has these experiences, but I did. And it came down to adult poop or baby poop.
Mm-hmm.
I chose the baby poop.
Yes.
But that's not what keeps me there. What keeps me there is I love to save babies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when you and I first started talking, and I really vividly remember this, that one of the first conversations that we had on the phone, we were talking one night, and you know, you were telling me about what you wanted to do. And you had said that you wanted to be a nurse for sick kids.
Yeah.
And that was something that, and this was, you know, years before mm-hmm. you were ever going to, you know, graduate nursing school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that was something that you talked about from forever.
I always wanted to save kids.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I always just loved kids. And it's just something that I'm really good at, with just affecting kids
mm-hmm.
and like babies right now.
Play that clip from your iPhone again.
It's just not my own.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like to save kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I really admire a lot about you, is that you do have this passion. I think it's not really just in terms of nursing, but in terms of helping people and teaching people, that, you know, you have a shift about you where, you know, we talk about like hangry Nicole and mad Nicole and yelling Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody, you know, has a problem, that you have the ability to, you know, really just like completely, you know, have this shift, and you really do provide, you know, a great service for people.
I do feel like I have a superpower mm-hmm. that comes out when it needs to come out.
Whether it's nursing or teaching, but when there's somebody who's in need.
Like just affecting people the way that other people can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now after having kids and experiencing really how hard it is, I have this new thing that I do at the hospital where I talk to the parents like they don't get a conversation like this from other nurses, I don't think, mm-hmm. where I just tell them, like, listen, you're going to go home with this baby and you're not going to know what to do. And this is going to be the hardest thing that you're ever going to do. And you're going to think that you are the worst parent in the world. And by thinking that is making you a good parent because you're contemplating, you know, what you can do better. Mm-hmm. If you think that you're nailing this, you suck.
I just wish that you, when you have the garbage bag and you're going through the toy chest, like, I wish that you could talk to you.
Sometimes I do have like this split personality where nurse brain talks mm-hmm. to mom brain.
Yeah.
And I have to like nurse brain has to be like, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cray cray.
Nicole, question number 17 is from the great Andrew Feldman, who writes in to say, what is Nicole's most embarrassing moment?
I block that stuff out. That's why I have a bad memory. But my whole life is a string of embarrassing moments.
Yes. Does it involve a celebrity? Does it involve
a game show?
Game shows. What was your most embarrassing moment, Nicole?
I honestly, my memory blocks out the pain.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can.
Can you remember?
I mean,
I've had like really crazy things happen where I remember one time I was at work and I was working at a doctor's office and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the button on my shirt just popped open and I'm standing there with just my boobs out.
Wait, so say this again?
You heard it. I'm standing there talking to a doctor.
Okay.
Having a conversation. And
you don't have a bra on?
I mean, I have a bra on, but I mean, at that point, what does that even matter?
I mean, how tight is this shirt?
It wasn't. It just, like, the button just, like, popped off.
One button pops and boobs are out?
Well, it was like, you don't, I didn't button it all the way to the top like a man. Like, yeah. I had it, like, it was like a low-cut mm-hmm. shirt. Not low-cut shirt, but the button just popped out, mm-hmm. and then I'm standing there, not even realizing what's happening.
I feel like you have a lot of stories like this.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this energy that takes my shirts off.
Yeah, what is that about? What is that about?
I don't know.
Okay. Anything else about embarrassing moments you want to touch on right now?
Not that I can think of.
We'll see what comes back to you.
Except that one time I was on a game show and fell.
Yes. The one versus 100.
Yes.
I mean, was that really that embarrassing?
At the time it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, not
no,
so
no,
much.
No, no. Now it's, I feel like badge of honor.
Yeah. Okay. Question number 18 from Walt Macklin, who says, Rob, what do you think of this new ABC show, Castaways? Any plans to cover it this August?
Ooh, what is that?
Nicole, have you seen this commercial? So ABC has a new show coming out this August, and it is some sort of a combination, it looks like, between Survivor and Lost and, something like, I don't know if you're going to say Survivor Man or Naked and Afraid. Basically, they're going to take 12 people and they're going to drop them off on a deserted island and then just leave them there. And they have to sort of just live on their own. And I guess that there are ways that they can find the other people. But basically, they're just there and they could quit. And then you're also going to get flashbacks to their lives when they weren't on the island.
And what's the premise?
I think it's just like there's 12 people. Will they live together or die alone? Or quit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Looks interesting enough. I'm sure we will check it out. Does it have a sexy enough premise? I'm not sure, but it looks gorgeous, and we'll see.
Where is this island?
Whatever, default.
Who cares? Yeah, you know, Long Island,
South China Sea. Yeah, I don't know. It's somewhere in the Fiji-esque area.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Question number 19. Can you believe it?
Almost done.
Okay. Adam Berkowitz says, who does Nicole think is the best Survivor winner of all time, and why is it Bob Crowley? I don't know if you've been asked this question before.
Why is it Bob Crowley?
Yes. Who is the best Survivor winner, in your opinion, Nicole?
Jeremy is one of my favorites.
Of the 14 that you know.
Jeremy.
Yes.
He's one of my favorites.
Yes. But not who's your favorite, but who is the best?
I might have to say Kim.
Kim is the best. Yeah. Why?
Girl power.
Girl power.
The girls have to stick together.
Yeah.
And she...
Tell me some of the things that she did.
She was very athletic. She mm-hmm. won challenges. And she was yes. a social player.
Social player. Yes. Yes. Anybody else?
And she was my winner pick.
Anybody else come to mind?
I like Tony.
Tony?
Yeah.
Yes. Why? What was it about Tony?
He was very entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah.
But is and entertaining best?
For me, it is.
Yes.
My question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Who's your favorite?
The question wasn't favorite.
Or who is... But what was the question?
Who is the best
Who
Survivor
is the best
winner?
In your opinion?
Well, for me, I think it really comes down to that. I think that the answer to the question is between Kim and Boston Rob. I think that they played the two least flawless games.
But it took Boston Rob 4 times to get there.
Right. But I don't know if that's necessarily fair in terms of, you know, if we're talking about the best winner, I don't know if necessarily how many times it took them to win.
Well, Kim, the best winner, it took her 1 time to perfect a game. So therefore, she's better.
Right. But if you're talking about, like, if this was a sports team, you're talking about, like, you know, who was the best Super Bowl team. It's like, well,
it was
Tom Brady's 7th yeah. Super Bowl. Like, well,
I think experience does help.
Sure, it does. It does help. But if we're talking about the best, like, I don't grade it on a curve in terms of who's first time versus fourth time.
Well, this isn't the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. Nicole, question number 20. Is from Callan Brunson, who says, what's your favorite and least favorite show or film that your kids watch? Recently, we just finished a long run of Fireman Sam.
Yeah.
Which I talked about.
They're over it. Thank goodness.
It went out as quickly as it came in.
Although we saw a fire on the side of the road. It was a pretty large fire. It was kind of scary. We had to drive through it.
They binged all of Fireman Sam and then sort of it's done.
And now we're on to the buddies, the dog buddies.
So there was the 1997 film Air Bud.
Yeah.
Which then had a sequel in 1998. And then it had a number of direct-to-DVD follow-up films.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere along the way, Air Bud became Air Buddies.
Yes.
And it went one golden retriever. Do you know Stephen Fishback loves golden retrievers?
I had no idea.
I didn't know this either.
I feel like he would hate the hair.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. Yeah. I wouldn't think he's a dog person, but he loves golden retrievers. And so the Air Buddies film, I believe that there were 7 films featuring the five dogs. Yes, I read the Wikipedia page today about this, about the 5 dogs and Air Buddies of that they are basically, it's almost like a live action Paw Patrol, but with actors.
Yeah.
And the dogs talk with CGI graphics.
And it looks so fake.
They move their mouths.
Yeah.
And so Dominic, for whatever reason, I don't even understand why
he doesn't really like dogs.
He doesn't even, really seem to enjoy the films, but he wants them on constantly. And
by constantly, it's when dad's watching.
There's a lot of like celebrity cameos in them. Mm-hmm. But basically, they're all on Netflix, these buddy films. There is Mudbud.
And they give us names of which dog buddy we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Butterball. Well, there's the girl.
Yeah. It's,
you know, really, I don't think that they should do these characters where, you know, that there's the 4 boys that they have like personality traits.
And then
the one girl and her personality trait is she's a girl.
Yeah. She's very sexist.
Yes. We don't like that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. We have more substance.
Yes. Yes. Rosebud.
Mm-hmm.
The last of these films was made in 2013, I believe. I think that there was a little bit of a scandal where I think that there were some animals that were hurt in the filming of one of these films and they have to shut it down.
Well, they shouldn't have been flying with Santa.
Well, I don't know.
They're not reindeer.
It wasn't with Santa. It had to do with the snow buddies, I believe, was the final. The ill-fated snow buddies was the final film in the series.
Steve Martin's dogs.
I don't know. I'm just sort of like, I skimmed the Wikipedia page, yeah. So please forgive me if I'm getting any of the details wrong.
Yeah.
But Buddha, Mudbud, Rosebud.
Right, and the girl B-Dog. Doesn't even have like she's Rosebud, like that's it. Like she's just Rose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Butterball. Butterball. That's
which
Dominic.
Is Anthony.
No, that's Dominic is Butterball. Anthony is Mudbud. I'm B-Dog. You're Rosebud. And then nobody is Buddha.
Yeah. I should be Buddha.
Sorry. We did go to see The Incredibles today.
Oh, yeah. It was a really long 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Real quick, spoiler-free Incredibles review.
Go for it.
Good. Yeah. It was fine.
It was good.
It's fine.
Yeah. It was a little long.
It was a little long. 2 hours is pushing it.
And 2 hours is too much for kids.
It's too much for kids.
Too much for me.
Longtime podcast listeners know that one of the banes of my existence are movie trailers that we, especially at the movie theater that we, I don't know if every movie theater is like this. I feel like that when we used to go to the Arclight, it wasn't like this, but the AMC, there is a good 25 minutes of trailers.
And then a short film.
And it's just such a buzzkill when you go to the movie theater with small kids and they're in the seat, they're ready to go. Let's watch the movie we came here to see. Trailer.
And Dominic was getting pissed.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, I want to watch The Incredibles. I'm sorry. And, you know, these kids, they watch YouTube. They skip every single commercial. You know, there's no button.
Patience.
There's no button to push to skip trailer
and
move on. And then they had the gall to do a like 9-minute short film before The Incredibles. I mean, it was 35 minutes of stuff before The Incredibles started.
It was a short film that went over the heads of the kids.
Right. Yeah, I still had a lot of questions about the short film before The Incredibles. I still have a lot of questions about it. But The Incredibles was good. Boys really liked Baby Jack.
Yes.
They liked everything going on there. It was slow in some parts.
Anthony has taken over the role of Baby Jack.
Yes. There's some parts that I think were a little talky for The Incredibles, if you're going with small kids. And then there were some intense scenes that I think that this has been talked about. But if you're taking small kids, that there are some scenes which are, I think, very intense for younger viewers.
Yeah.
Where Mrs. Incredible, a.k.a. Elastigirl, has a fight scene that is with, you know, it's really a lot of flashing lights. Both kids were on, if not crying, on the verge of crying.
Yeah.
During those parts.
Yeah.
So it's a lot.
And quite a body on that Miss Elastigirl.
Elastigirl's looking good.
Oh, she had a waist that was like teeny tiny.
Yeah, well, I think that's just how the characters are drawn.
And a big butt.
Yeah.
Nice tight butt.
Yeah. I mean, the daughter has like her ankles are like, microscopic.
Yeah, but the shorts on Elastigirl were really, really short and her butt was really big.
What are you saying? The body image is unrealistic?
Unrealistic body images.
Yeah.
Yes. Look, my boys are going to think that this is real life.
You know, I think it's a little bit of a plot point in the first movie that Elastigirl is a little concerned about her figure.
Mm-hmm.
But does she lose her powers? I mean, is it sort of like, can she like suck her stomach in? She is Elastigirl.
I would love to be Elastigirl.
Yeah. Like, could Elastigirl gain 100 pounds but keep the same physique? Would she just be more dense? She can turn her body into a parachute.
Yeah, maybe this is the third movie.
Can she sort of move the weight into the right places? Like have
her
curves
and her boobs
have curves where she wants them? Like is she sort of like, I know she can't like shrink to teeny tiny like Ant-Man, but is she able to? Or is it sort of like if you're like if I go to the pool and I want to suck my gut in, I couldn't do that all the time.
Yeah, now we've lost people.
No, I think we've got people right where we want them talking about this. This is what
something
people,
we need to
people
talk
want,
about.
People want to know about. Okay. All right. Nicole, speaking of staying in shape, let me thank our other sponsor here today on this podcast, Beach Body On Demand. longtime podcast listeners know that I've been doing the Beachbody on demand. Full confession that I've been probably off the routine for about a week because I got lazy. But it's so easy with Beachbody on demand that there is so little resistance that I will be back at it tomorrow. Beachbody on demand. They got a great offer for our listeners that you can text the word Rob to 303030 and get your free trial membership. So easy to do. You could be doing P90X, Insanity 21 Day Fix, Brazil Butt Lift, Pio, 3-week yoga retreat with Vitas Bushkowskis, or the program that I do, Nicole, Body Beast with Sagi.
You do have the body of a beast.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for noticing, Nicole.
And I'm very serious that your butt is looking
nobody wants to hear this, Nicole. Nobody wants to hear
in your cargo shorts.
Nobody wants to hear this. And really, I think you're mocking.
I'm not.
I think you're mocking about the cargo shorts.
His butt.
Okay. All right. Let me get so back squeezable. To the commercial. Let me get back to the commercial. Beachbody on demand. You can do
want
it anytime,
it.
Anywhere on your computer, tablet, phone, Roku, Apple TV. You don't need a ton of equipment. You could do just body weight exercises, some resistance bands, some dumbbells. You can do it on the road. It is the easiest way to get a great workout in your home. It's so easy to do. You won't come up with a bunch of excuses to not go to the gym. So go ahead. Summer is here. Beachbody on demand. Text the word Rob to 303030 to get that free trial today. Just text the word Rob to 303030 to start doing Beachbody on demand. All right, Nicole.
I've been taking Insanity classes at the gym.
Yes.
And it's on Beachbody on demand.
Yes. What do? They play the video?
No, it's like you have to get like a certification to teach. And then when you get certified, they provide you with like different routines to do.
Okay.
And it's probably very similar. I should check it out on demand.
Go for it.
When I'm
all
out
right.
at the gym.
Question 21 for you, Nicole. This
almost
is from
there.
Jonathan Tanner. Whenever my wife has a few too many drinks following a productive evening at book club or on a Wednesday party session with mom's group that invariably ends at 9 p.m., she likes to come up with names for me that she thinks are super funny, such as Hot Stuff or Harambe. I don't know if we're
like
ready. That might
like
be too soon.
That
might be too soon for Harambe nicknames. What cocktail-inspired pre-10 p.m. nickname? I don't know why it has to be a time of the day. What cocktail-inspired pre-10 p.m. nickname does Nicole have for Rob, and why is it Fun Bobby? Fun Bob Crowley?
I don't know. Do I do anything crazy after a few drinks?
Well, I don't think that was the question. The question was, do you have any nicknames for me after you have a few drinks?
I think I call you nicknames without drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what nicknames do you have for me?
Well, my number one go-to is Hot Ass.
Okay, all right.
Yes. I think that's all I got. That's enough. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yes.
That is a good one.
Yes.
Although, you know, people are going to start tweeting you hot ass.
But yeah. Heyo, Robbio. Tongue in cheek, though.
No, for real. You have a hot ass.
Okay. All right. Question number 22. This is for you, Nicole. Has Rob been more or less rigid in 2018? That's from Logan on Twitter. Has Rob been more or less rigid in 2018? What trajectory is my rigidness going? Am I becoming more rigid or less rigid?
Well, he's still pretty rigid where he has to log in all of his meals on MyFitnessPal.
Again, the last couple of days has been...
All right. Yeah, the last couple of days have been a little cuckoo crazy, but everything has to be logged in and within his allowed calories.
Right, but that's not necessarily me being rigid.
This is going on like 2 years.
I don't do it every day, but if I overeat if I don't do that, so that's why, I mean, it's not like I have some sort of like compulsion that I have to put in every...
No, but then I have to make him boring chicken every day.
Okay.
That even Anthony calls him boring chicken.
Yeah, my kids talk about my boring chicken.
They hear the timer going off and they say, oh, daddy's boring chicken.
When are
we going
to post the recipe for boring chicken on Instagram?
I'm going to post it.
Yes. Okay. So, all right, outside of me not overeating...
He hasn't been making his eggs, which is where he's like totally rigid about. Yeah.
Why? Because I don't have you make the eggs for me?
I'm not allowed to make them for you.
Well.
Because you're rigid.
I'm not rigid. I just like the eggs not all stuck to the pan.
And after even like a million times of making something, he still has to measure it out every single time.
Nicole, if you are doing entering the meals into My Fitness Pal, you can't but just even, eyeball it.
Before That's, you even did My Fitness Pal, you always measured.
Yeah, because this is what the serving is. I'm trying not to overeat. I know what the serving is.
That is rigid.
That's not rigid.
You'd be like easygoing, a little of this, a little of that, a little smidgen of this.
I feel like you're conflating, easygoing and healthy.
You can still be healthy by eyeballing. A little. That's good.
No, you are anti-measuring.
I don't measure anything.
Yeah. Well, what do you do at the hospital?
Well, you see a different Nicole at the hospital.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All of my brain cells are saved.
Here you're loosey goosey.
Yes, because I can be.
Yeah. Nicole, this recipe is weird. I don't know. Little of this, little of that.
It must be that smidgen of this.
Yeah. Okay. Question number 23. Glenn
Goodbar.
Are people
still listening?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
Do you have a hashtag for them?
Oh, I do.
What is it? What's the question 23 hashtag?
I don't know. What is question 23?
All right. Well, give us a hashtag now. And then if people are listening to this, then they can give us that hashtag.
Oh, okay. Smidgen.
Smidgen. That was the hashtag. Okay. All right. Nicole, question number 23 is from Glenn Goodbar, who wants to know, who are your favorite professional wrestlers? Nicole, I don't know if I've talked to you about this. Did you follow professional wrestling
as a
young person?
My brother used to watch it, and I just remember.
Is your brother still into it?
Yes. Yes.
He's
heavily invested.
He still is?
I think so.
Look, he really liked the divas.
My brother was a whore. Remember we went to the Venice Beach and like the divas were there and he lost his mind.
He's like signed pictures of the he was like divas.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like I don't know if he still does.
I don't know if he has time to.
His other interests.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. We're not going to mention.
So, all right, Nicole, as a young person, was there anybody that really resonated with you?
I always liked Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Did you
watch the Andre the Giant documentary?
I haven't.
Yeah.
You watched it.
I did. I thought it was it was interesting, but not super interesting.
Yeah. He had me at the Princess Bride, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just feel like that there wasn't a ton of, the thing about the wrestling, pre 2000 is like there's no interview with Andre the Giant where he's not in character.
Yeah.
You know, everything is kayfabe. Right.
Yeah.
So, but I would say in terms of my favorite wrestler that I believe, I don't know if this was particularly weird about me, but I tended to like people that were more in the intercontinental tier of wrestling than like the head. I wasn't like a crazy like Hulk Hogan.
I never liked Hulk Hogan.
Or the Ultimate Warrior. They were fine.
Yeah.
But
I think my brother was a big Ultimate Warrior fan.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That I really liked Ravishing Rick Rude.
I knew you would.
He was I liked him. I liked when he would like come out with like the guy's wife like spray painted on like his butt.
Yeah.
And they say, like, hey, this is, I've got your wife airbrushed on my butt.
Because that was strategy.
Yeah, to make them drive yeah. people crazy. I really liked Jake the Snake.
Uh-huh, I
really,
I remember him.
I really liked Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. I was a very big fan of Mr. Perfect.
Oh, because you think you're perfect.
Yeah, that's right. I could really, finally, somebody I can relate to, Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect. But then the guy that was probably like my all-time favorite then, and he sort of emerged from that ranks, and again, at the risk of losing a lot of the listeners right now, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, I was a big fan of HBK.
Yeah.
And I was so happy when he completed the boyhood dream. And
what was your boyhood dream?
To be WWE champ.
Yeah. I don't think
and,
so.
And yeah, like much. And then, so I was very, very excited. Like when I was in a senior year in high school, when it was all coming together for Shawn Michaels.
You were watching this in your senior year in high school?
Oh, in college, it was never
what?
Bigger.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was really like the late 90s was when, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin came on the scene. And
this
Rock.
Is a whole new part of you that I had no idea existed.
The whole US versus Canada, the Hart Foundation versus DX. It was a very exciting time.
Who are you?
We never really talked about this. Yeah, but
no, we never did.
I really feel like that. Yeah, 1995 to 2000 was really like the peak of. I watched a lot when I was a little kid, and then I had like you know 3 or 4 years where I didn't pay that much attention to it, and then I was back in a big way in like you know 94 to 2000.
Sure, this was the peak of wrestling for you, but not your and sexual peak.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah, I think the two are related.
Yes, yes. My sexual peak was 2003.
Yeah, probably.
That was it. Nicole, but I am excited for when I get back into wrestling in a couple of years.
In the sheets?
What? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Wrestling in the sheets.
I thought that we were talking about your sexual peak.
No. I'm really excited to get back into wrestling in a couple of years.
Why?
When the boys start watching
then they
it.
They are not going to watch wrestling.
We're going to get into it.
Dominic is not going to watch that nonsense.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to be that. If I showed it to them, they would be way into it tomorrow.
Please,
I won't.
Please don't.
I won't. Okay. Question number 24. Is from Joe Bro Chacho. Two questions.
Again.
Would you ever do another reality Game Master series? I bet a lot of the newer listeners aren't even aware of the original one you've done and would really enjoy it. I only recently stumbled upon it myself. Well, Nicole, actually, again, this month, not only has it been 3 years since the last 25 questions from the RHAP community, it has been 5 years this month since reality Game Masters.
That bell.
Yes. And I was talking about this with Sophie and Cochran and Steve. I don't know if Stephen was there. Sophie and Cochran, at least, at Stephen's wedding. I said, hey, 5-year anniversary. And Sophie is like, when are we doing it again?
Yeah.
And I said, probably never. And she said, well, I want to play Risk. When are we going to do this again? I said, well, really, as much fun as we had when we did Reality Game Masters in 2013, I do not feel like Risk is a very conducive game for broadcast.
Yeah.
So Sophie loves Risk. Sophie loves board games. She'd love to do something else again. I think Cochran is lukewarm about doing it again. Steven, I think, is tepid on doing it again.
I think Steven will do it. He'll do whatever.
I don't know. He might. But to get the whole gang together would be a challenge. What I think would be easier and would be feasible, I think, would be to do some sort of a get a bunch of reality stars on screen at the same time and play some sort of a mafia or, you know, like Taryn has streamed a lot of Secret Hitler. And I think that you could play card games, multiplayer games like that. And I think that something like that is definitely doable. And, you know, we played the Family Feud and things like that. But to get people together in a room, it just was expensive in terms of the production. The appeal never equaled the amount of work that went into doing it.
I have an idea.
Yes.
What if you do like a celebrity game night, but like reality game night, where you have like four reality people,
right,
and one rando, and you're Jane Lynch.
Okay. Well, and we're like filming it.
Or
it's just a lot of work.
Broadcasting it, like you were saying.
Like live streaming. Yeah. Like we got to get people together. You know, I feel like that the reality stars might be interested in like, hey, let's have a game night. Let's go to Aris's house. Let's have a game night and we'll do it. But I feel like that they are less interested. And this is a little counterintuitive of like, okay, and now we'll film it and stream it to the world. Like,
I think that people get Aris would be down.
I don't know. I think that sometimes, believe it or not, I think people just want to play a game and they don't necessarily aren't necessarily thirsty.
But you're not doing this every,
you know, have the internet watching them.
But
play
you're not
a
doing
game.
This every week. This is like a special occasion.
Yeah,
I think celebrity game night's a good idea.
It would be a lot of work. The thing about this is that we have a good setup here where it's easy to record a lot of content and turn it around and get it out. Whereas something like that would be more difficult to be able to do something like that. But if anybody is interested in Reality Game Masters, three of the knowingest know-it-alls of Survivor and three knowingest know-it-alls of Big Brother took each other on in a very high-stakes game of Risk with a bunch of my favorite people from these shows. You can go to robiswebsite.com/gamemasters for that's Game Masters. Robiswebsite.com/gamemasters for the playlist. All right, Nicole, here we are. Question number 25.
Ooh, who gets the honor of this question?
It is going to be a voicemail question.
Ooh, I love voicemail questions.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. And it is going to be from Graham from the Bay.
I love Graham from the Bay.
Hey, Rob and Nicole, it's Graham from the Bay. I just want to start off by saying, like a lot of people, my life situation could certainly be more ideal than it currently is. There are some struggles here and there, but also, like many people, RHAP has been something that has helped me through these difficult times, especially this past semester in college, where instead of studying and working on homework, most of the time, my time and energy was spent towards working on Wandoffs, which was so fun for me to do this past season. And just seeing little things like a new poll in one of the off-topic groups or seeing a podcast being downloaded to my phone. The content and the community that you guys have cultivated has been something that has brought a lot of joy into my life and a lot of other people's lives. And I just want to start off by thanking you two for providing that for all of us. And my question for you guys is, what's the most rewarding thing that you've seen the podcast bring for your guys' lives? Keep up the great work. Thanks.
Nicole, and thank you very much, Graham. That's a very nice question, and I really appreciate the sentiment. Do you have any thoughts on that, Nicole?
I have a few thoughts.
Yes.
Number one, all the credit goes to Rob. Like, this, it's not me.
I thought you said you want equal billing.
Well, when appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all Rob. Mm-hmm. Rob works hard day and night to get this machine moving, so mm-hmm. He deserves all that. I'm just here to clap and cheer him on.
Yeah. In terms of what's the most rewarding part of it, you know, I've sort of had a shift in the last couple of years, and I really feel like in the last few months especially, where I used to feel like that I was doing a podcast about Survivor and I had to know the most about Survivor and like analyze, you know, every single move that happens on the show, where, you know, we really have to break everything down because, you know, everybody loves Survivor so much or loves the show so much. But I've sort of like had a little bit of a shift recently where I feel like that, look, we are just trying to, you know, that sometimes we're going to talk about strategy and sometimes we're going to be just really silly, but I think it's more about just creating content and trying to just build that connection with the audience. And we've been very fortunate where, you know, we've been able to interact with so many different people over the last couple of years. And, you know, I've seen so many, you know, beautiful and amazing things happen where so many people that have come together around the content that we've been able to put out has, you know, that really means a lot to me, that I think that we all have these lives that are, you know, especially difficult in moments. And the podcast, I think, if in some way helps people get through these difficult parts of the day when they really are struggling. And I hear that from people. I mean, that's the most rewarding thing for me. And, you know, the thing that changed it recently is, you know, I think back to Dominic Malpietti, who was somebody who is a listener that passed away a couple of months ago, and was somebody who, you know, commented on all of the shows, and we came to find out, you know, after his passing, you know, he didn't really have a lot of people in his life, you know, outside of the connections that he made around the podcast. And I just think about, you know, how many other people there might be out there who I don't even know, you know, anything about them, but, you know, they get something out of what this nonsense that I get to do. And
it's not nonsense.
It is, but, you know, there's meaning to people in the nonsense.
Yes.
I really feel like that. And so it is, you know, a great gift that I get to make these shows, and we have a very nice life getting to, you know, do this thing that, you know, I'm passionate about, and I get to, you know, do the one job that I'm qualified to do in this world for as long as I possibly can do it. And, you know, I sort of, who knows, you know, I always feel like Survivor is always a year to two away from being off the air. And then I've felt that way for the last 8 years. So you never, like, I don't take it for granted how long I get to do this. So for as long as I get to do this job, you know, I find that to be the thing that's been the most rewarding, where how much there are people that appreciate the work that I do, because I know that everybody in their job works hard, and very few people get to feel the appreciation that I get to feel from the feedback that I get from so many of you guys out there.
I think that you're a good reason why Survivor is still on the air.
Well, look, in the scheme of things, you know, millions of people watch the show. You know, if we, you know, help keep the flame alive in, you know, 1 or 2%, you know, then that's...
But it's the 1 and 2% that are very vocal, and that's this group, and I think that it helps keep Survivor on the air.
Well, good. And, you know, if in some small way we play a part in that, you know, that's great by me, because Survivor has given me so much. I'm happy to give something back. But the rewarding part just really comes from, you know, thinking about the people that are in any way, you know, positively impacted by the work that I get to do making this show.
Yeah, and then there's romances in the air, too.
Yes.
Yes, I see them on Facebook. Patrons getting together. They're in new relationships.
Whoa.
Yep.
Yeah. So, look, it's been a wonderful thing that has happened over the last 8 years.
Ooh, do you think that we'll have maybe the first patron baby soon?
First patron baby?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure at some point that there will be somebody who is born, you know.
They have to name him Rob. It's a girl. They do.
If it's a girl.
It's a boy.
All right. So thank you, Graham, for letting me ramble about that here. And all right, Nicole. Bonus question.
No! It's 26 questions.
Hey, Nicole. Hey, Rob. This is Brent the Shower Man. This is a crazy country that we live in,
oh,
and
boy.
I'm not even talking about the United States. I'm talking about RHAP Nation. Nicole, it's been a while since you've done the 25 Questions podcast, and I think it's about time for a State of the Union address. A State of the RHAP Nation address, if you will.
You're really cracking Rob up.
As VP of Patron Relations and the First Lady of Podcasting, what have you seen over the past couple of years that you've really liked about RHAP Nation? And where do you see us headed in the next few years? The people are listening, Nicole, and we need to know.
Yes.
Thanks.
Nicole, bye. Please give us the state of the RHAP Nation
Brent
address.
The shower man. You know how I hate to be put on the spot like
yes.
this.
Yes,
yes. We've been doing really good things.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
We have relationships.
Yes. You got a new t-shirt from Zerology.
I have a new t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. And
I got a sperm.
Yes. And a sperm stress ball.
That's broken.
It's been broken.
It was very stressed.
Yes. Our kids destroyed it instantly.
Because Rob inappropriately gave it to them.
They don't know what it is.
I told them. I told them what it does.
Yes. They don't know. They don't know. They said, oh, look, Dad, it's a balloon. Like, sure.
Well, Anthony said, oh, fish.
Fish. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Either one.
Yes.
Okay. So, Nicole, do you have anything to add to the state of the RHAP Nation address?
We are the greatest nation in the world. We come together when we need each other.
Yeah.
It's the state of our nation.
Yeah. The state of RHAP is strong.
It's very strong. Everybody's talking about it.
We are getting ready to kick off Big Brother. Two Survivor seasons are ahead in the
you
can.
You keep this guy so busy.
Yeah.
You keep me busy with the emails, too, I got to say.
Okay. So, yeah, so far, so good.
Yeah.
All right. Nicole, bonus question number two.
Stop it.
Barry Johnson says, Nicole, can you please provide some potty training tips, specifically around number twos? If you can help, I'll be forever grateful. My wife will have your babies. Oh,
wow. A surrogate? What? This might
we
be
like
something
that.
We're into.
We like that. Yes.
Yeah. You got to bribe him.
Yeah, because on paper, I wouldn't necessarily object to another kid, but pregnant Nicole.
Quote, he says, I'm a monster.
It's really, that would be a that's
I am not a good pregnant
challenge.
Person.
It's
I'm not.
Okay.
Okay,
quick.
I've read tons of
potty
training
books,
book. And they're all crap. Burn them.
Is that a pun?
No, they really are. And there's like these different methods where you can keep the kid naked. You're supposed to keep the kid naked for 3 days mm-hmm. and train them to go on the potty. But it turns out boys, they just pee on the walls and they pee on the furniture. It's really gross. You just got to every 30 minutes, take them into the potty.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's okay. it. And some of them are good and some of them just suck at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had recently a lot of success with Anthony.
Anthony is a potty genius. I'm so proud of him.
Mm-hmm. No, he did good.
He did really well.
The thing about Anthony is that he really loves candy.
Yeah.
He really wants gummy bears.
I'm not proud of this, yes. but we bribed him with gummy bears.
Yes.
So. One gummy bear for pee-pee
mm-hmm.
and two gummy bears for poop. Get it? One and two.
Okay, great. And then finally.
Oh, God.
Okay. One more question, Nicole. This is from Drew Better Tomorrow. Okay, wife and I are having our first child, a little boy, very soon. Due date is 7/18. What is your best advice after two boys to a new parent as they begin their journey?
It's going to be crazy town.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy town. It's going to be, this is what I tell all the moms at the hospital. This is going to be the hardest experience of your life. And no one warns you, no one tells you how hard it is. But as soon as you accept how hard it is, the easier it'll be.
Okay. All right, Nicole.
And you're not going to sleep right now. Eventually you will.
All right.
Yeah. And go out on dates. Don't forget each other. Right?
That's right. That's right. Well, that can be, you know,
you're on the same team, even though it's going to feel like you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's very important to try to keep a spark in the marriage.
Yeah. And take turns with the night feedings.
Okay.
If you can.
All right. Nicole. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you
and tell your wife how pretty she
yes,
is and how beautiful she is.
Mm-hmm.
And just treat her like a princess.
Yes. We need to get to the hashtag,
the
Nicole.
Yes.
Okay. So we're starting to wrap this up. A couple of quick things. We recently put together a survey about the guests that were on the podcast in season 36 of Survivor. If you would like to give us feedback in terms of what you thought of the guests this season, in terms of who we should bring back, who you weren't feeling, go to robhaswebsite.com/S36 survey. That's robswebsite.com/S36survey. I will put the link. There's also a survey for Podcast One that would be of great help to us if you could fill that out at podcastone.com to help us get matched up with the right advertisers. And of course, for more on what's going on behind the scenes of Rob as a Podcast, if you want to hear the beautiful sounds of Nicole Loves Shoes, or Nicole Says What on Twitter.
Yes.
Nicole Says What, you can hear her every week on the Patreon 5 for 5. So much going on always in the Rob as a Podcast Patreon, Nicole.
And I am the VP of Patron Relations.
Yes, you'll get to know Nicole so well.
Yes.
When she helps you with all your passwords and everything.
In your nightmares.
Yes, my nightmares. But with Tupac?
That is not a nightmare.
Okay. All right, Nicole. What is the hashtag?
It's hot ass.
Okay. Oh, boy. Here we
Hey-o,
go.
Hot ass.
All righty. Nicole?
What?
Anything else you want to say?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing else. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening and indulging us here on the 25 questions from the Rob Has a Podcast community. Very fun to go through all of this. What is this podcast like? Over 2 hours here?
My God.
You still got to edit this tonight?
Yeah, I'll see you in 2 hours.
Okay. All right. Here's what's coming up on the podcast that I'm going to check in with Mario Lanza over the weekend. We will talk about what he has going on with his new podcast staff picks. Plus, I'm sure we'll talk about the latest from the Funny 115 volume number. Are we on volume 3 now with that?
Sure, yeah.
And so we'll talk about that and much more with Mario. And then, of course, be on the lookout for the Big Brother 20 draft coming up, where I will take on the LFC coming up on Monday night. And of course, News AF and Big Brother 20 kicking off on Wednesday and Thursday of next week. And we will get back to the Survivor sometime soon as well. I want to talk to some Survivor alumni this summer. So be on the lookout for that as well. Robswebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.